Welcome to the Lifehouse Church podcast. More information about Lifehouse and our senior pastors, Richard and Helen Kabakian, can be found at lifehouse.com.au. We hope you enjoy the following message.
The title of my message, as you would have already seen, is called The Real Law of Attraction. And maybe some of you understand what I even mean by that title. Some of you have never really watched anything about the law of attraction. There are many YouTube videos. It was something that was made famous maybe more in the 80s through to the 90s. And it's simply this. The law of attraction is the belief that positive or negative thoughts bring positive or negative experiences into your life. That through the power of the universe, we can improve our health, our wealth, and our personal relationships. So basically the idea is that you just think great thoughts and you attract good things into your life through the power of the universe. Now, as many of you would agree, there's a lot of things that I don't agree with when it comes to that theory, but I do believe that there is something in every one of us that wants to be able to attract the attention of other people in our world. Let's be honest about that. Everybody wants to be noticed, even those that are introverted, you would still say, yeah, but I still want to gain the attention of maybe someone special. Hey, when you're working for somebody, you want to gain the attention of your employer. You want them to see that you're doing a good job and maybe you'll be rewarded for that. And yeah, of course, if you are single, then I'm sure that there are some of you right now, you're thinking, you know, yeah, I've been single a while now and I'd love to gain the attention of someone special. And there's nothing wrong with that. And while getting the attention of people around us is a good thing, there's nothing wrong with that and it's great and there's ways to do that. I imagine that there was a way to actually gain the attention of the God of the universe who made those people, who made your world, the person who made you. Imagine being able to gain his attention. Well, today we're going to talk a little bit about that because I think it's a really powerful concept. Do you know, you'll always know if someone has gained God's attention by how many times their name is actually in the Bible. And as you could imagine, Jesus, his name, is written down in the Bible 1,043 times. His name is written in the Bible the most. Certainly attracted the attention of God. Why? Because he was God. Makes a whole lot of sense. How about someone like Moses, though? Moses definitely gained the attention of God. You know, his name is written in the Bible 798 times. And that would also make sense because he pretty much wrote most of the Bible. So, well, not most of it, the first five books at least. And you know, of course he gained God's attention because he delivered God's people. And, you know, three of the major religions of the world actually, you know, really listened to the words of Moses. So a very important figure. Then there's someone whose name has been written, and maybe you've never heard this before, there's someone in the Bible whose name is written down 990 times. Friends, that's not far from 1,043. And who is that person? Well, his name is David. That's right, King David as we know him. His name was written 990 times in the Bible. Must be a very special figure. How many of you would agree that somehow this man attracted the attention of God? How did he do that? Well, some of you would say, well, you know, it must have been his integrity. I mean, and that would be a great response, by the way, his integrity. He must have just done the right thing all the time. Well, yes, there were many moments that he did do the right things, but how many of us know that there were some times that, the whole Bathsheba thing and, there were a whole lot of things that he didn't get right. So surely it wasn't simply about his integrity. So what else was it? Well, surely it was his bravery. Because he was the guy who slayed Goliath. Come on, we've all heard that story. So maybe God is attracted to very brave people. Well, you know, King David, after that incredible experience, he found himself running away from a king called King Saul. And if you read 1 Samuel chapter 21, verse 13, it says, this is King David here, it says, so he pretended to be insane in their presence. And while he was in their hands, he acted like a madman, making marks on the doors of the gates and letting saliva run down his beard. Why was he doing that? He was hiding. He was actually hiding from people, pretending to be a madman. But yet he still gained the attention of God. How did he do it? Well, 1 Chronicles 29:3 says, this is King David talking about the house of God. He wanted to build God a house. He wanted to honor God. And it says in verse 3, besides, in my devotion to the temple of my God, he says, I now give my personal treasures of gold and silver for the temple of my God. And listen to these words, over and above. Over and above, he says, everything I have provided for this holy temple. King David knew that if he was going to build God's temple, it was going to take an over and above spirit. And here's the message for you guys today. Here's the challenge. Friends, to build anything of significance, you want to build a great family, it's going to take a spirit of over and above. You want to build a great marriage, you're going to need to have an over and above spirit. You want to build a business that actually shakes this world, you're going to need to have an over and above spirit. Mediocre doesn't build anything of significance. It's the over and above spirit that builds great things. Now, some of you aren't even aware that there is a zone called the over and above zone. And this zone is a peculiar zone, and I'm going to tell you, not many people enter into this zone. Some people go a whole lifetime without entering into the over and above zone. The over and above zone is it's that zone when you choose to live a life, when you choose to make sacrifices that ordinary people just refuse to do. It's when you will go that extra mile, when you do the things that Jesus told us to do, and I'm going to show those things to you in a moment. Friends, something happens in the spiritual realm. It's like an alarm goes off in heaven. Yes, that's right. It's like an alarm goes off. I don't know what that alarm would sound like. Maybe it sounds a little bit like this. That may have been a bit too aggressive. Or maybe it sounds a little bit like this. But I don't know what it is. But let me tell you what happens. When you choose to live a life of over and above, let me give you an example of this. Jesus said, if someone slaps you on the cheek, no alarm goes off. He said, turn the other cheek also. Oh, that's the over and above zone. See, most people, if you're slapped on the cheek, they would go, wow, and they would be offended by it, or they may retaliate. Jesus says, no, we need to be people who turn the other cheek. That's the over and above zone. Now, for some of you, you're thinking, yeah, but that's aggressive, and, you know, if I got hit, I'd probably want to retaliate. How many of us know that Jesus isn't, he is talking about literally being slapped, but I think what he's saying is, just even metaphorically, when you feel slapped, when you feel like people are speaking badly about you and you feel slapped by people's comments, Jesus is saying, you know what? Don't retaliate. Turn the other cheek. Why would we do that? Because the minute you step into that zone, an alarm goes off. Where? In heaven. And that's how we attract the attention of God. David attracted God's attention because he was constantly doing things that were over and above. Jesus is saying, if somebody wants your jacket, don't just give them your jacket. He actually says, this is Jesus' words, give them your shirt as well. Who does that? Over and above spirited people do. That's what he's saying. He's saying if someone tells you to go a mile, he says, go the extra mile. Because the minute you go the extra mile, the alarm goes off. Now, I don't know about you, but I want to be somebody that as I live my life with my children, with my friends, with my church, with my God, with my neighbors, I want to be somebody who constantly sets off the alarm in heaven. I don't want to live a life where I just do what has to be done. What's necessary? What's my blatant responsibility here? I want to be somebody who lives a life that is over and above. Why? Because Jesus is telling us to live like that, because when you do, people around you go, why are you doing this? Why are you living like this? And we get to say, because I serve a God who went over and above to rescue me. Friends, our life is supposed to be an example of what God did for us. Imagine being the sort of person that when someone gossips about you, not only do you not retaliate, but you even send that person a message and say, can I just tell you something? I really, really love you. Now, you're probably thinking, well, who does that? Well, can I be honest? I actually did that this very week. I heard about someone who was gossiping pretty badly, to be honest, about myself and about some of my leaders, but mainly about me. And I really love this person. And I was so brokenhearted when I heard that that's what they were doing. I really was. I was shattered. And I really felt like I was slapped after all I've done for that person, after all that I've done. Do you know what I thought? I'm going to be an over and above person. I'm going to set the alarm off. So you know what? Sent them a text message. I love you. Did they deserve it? No. Did I feel good after I sent it? Yep. And you know what? They sent back another message. And then I sent back another one. And it was, and you know, by the end of it, love. Honestly, I believe that when we choose to live like that, we're going to see a lot of peace enter into our life. Come on, if someone believes what I'm saying, friends, this is the strategy of heaven. You know what? Let's just move away from the whole God thing at the moment. What about just with your friendships? What about with your relationships? You know, there's a young guy in our church. And when I first met this man, he was telling me of all the things that he used to do with his wife when they were just dating and then they're in their engagement, even the proposal. I remember he told me the whole story. And his wife said to me one day, you know, my husband, he's become a little bit boring, you know. And I could see in her eyes that she was really brokenhearted. So I pulled this guy aside and I said, hey, buddy, what happened to the over and above guy? What happened to that guy? And he was really challenged by that. He goes, yeah, it's true. What happened? Well, you know what? He picked up his game and he began doing the things that he was doing that made his wife fall in love with him in the first place. Not that she was going to leave him, not that she was going to do anything crazy, but she was just a little bit bored. Hey, hubby, dad, whoever you are, come on, let's live the over and above life. Let's just get away from the bare minimum. Guys, when your wife walks in and she says, hey, honey, do these jeans look great? Now, listen, this is not, you need to go way over and above in that situation because otherwise you will die. You'll be killed, right? But let me tell you something. Don't just say, yeah, you look great. Say, honey, wow, you look amazing. Let's go on a date. Let's do something. Guys, go over and above. Come on. We need to be like this. Hey, young lady, if he's vacuumed the house for you and he says, did I do a good job? That's not your time to go, well, you sort of missed behind the pot plant. And no, just come on. You did great, hun. Now, listen, by the way, guys, stop doing a bad job at washing dishes and vacuuming. We all know what you're up to, right? You're trying to do a bad job so that she'll never ask you to do it again. Guys, they've already worked that out. Do a good job, go over and above and do the right thing. And all the ladies in the house said amen. My wife, whom I love dearly, has got this regular habit. I'll get out of the shower, I'm nice and warm, I put my PJs on, I'll actually hop into the bed. I'm under the sheets now. And then she'll say, did you put the rubbish bins out? And I'm like, did you know that they needed to be put out like before I hopped into the bed? Yeah, but you know. Now, I don't know what that is, but still, I am going to love my wife. I'm going to get out of that bed and I'm going to go out into that cold, frosty rain and put those bins out because I'm an over and above guy. And look, any opportunity to just tell stories about my wife, guys, you know that I'm going to have a go. But in all seriousness, there's a guy in our church. And I was asking him about his business. He said, Richard, I am doing so well, but I can't seem to find some young guys that I want to employ. I said, what do you mean? There's just no one around. He said, no, there's plenty of young guys that want to be employed. He said, but you would be shocked at what they do. And I said, what do you mean? He says, I'll ask them to move some sand from one place to another. And once they've done that job, they will literally grab their mobile phone, put one foot up against the wall, and they will just get on their phone until they are told what to do next. And I said, you are joking. There's not a chance that that's what's happening out there. He said, without a word of a lie, that's what's going on. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't think that's an over and above spirit. And if I can just talk to some of you young people right now, hey, if you've just landed yourself a job, guys, this is your opportunity to go over and above. Why do that? Because you're probably going to find other people are not. So you're going to stand out like a star in the sky. You are going to shine. Hey, listen, if you've just landed a new job, get there early. And early is not when you start. I'm talking about 15 minutes, maybe even 20 minutes before you even need to start. Go get your coffee. By the time you sit down, you're ready to go. You may think no one's noticing, but God is noticing. Your employer is noticing. Stay a little bit later. Go for it. Do what you need to do, but have an over and above spirit, somebody. You know, we've built what I believe to be a great church here. And many people come into this church and they go, wow, you're so lucky. I can't stand those words. Now, listen, let me tell you, it is the grace of God on our lives. But if you think it's luck, if you think luck got us to where we are, friend, you're really misled, okay? It was the over and above spirit. It was 5 a.m. mornings. It was getting up in the cold rain on Sundays when we just wanted to stay in bed. It was a whole lot of things, not just myself, of course, a whole team of people that have had to work really hard. But today, we are eating the fruit of that harvest of working really, really hard. Friends, over and above, I can't keep going with this message without making comment right now. You know, right now, as I'm speaking to you, there is someone behind this camera, and his name's John. We call him John because he's from the US, and we love John. Well, you know, when COVID hit, John had a job and he had things that he needed to do, but he was also impacted greatly with his business. And, you know, he could have just stayed at home and just wondered when this was all going to end. But no, that's not how it went. He was very quickly speaking to us and we were speaking to him about getting church online. And, you know, if you have been blessed with these messages, well, can I just encourage you, send an email or something to Lifehouse just encouraging John. He is the man that's behind all these videos, that's helping edit them all so that you guys can be completely blessed. Why am I telling you about this? Because I believe that's an over and above spirit. But not just him. If you've enjoyed worship today, that's a young man called Brendan, who's, guys, in all seriousness, it takes him up to 6 hours to mix that sound so that when it comes out of your speakers, it sounds beautiful and you can just worship God. Another young man who's just going over and above. These are people that could have just said, well, you know, I'll come when I want and I'll video when I want. No, we need this every week, guys. But we didn't put that demand on them. They offered it. And I just want to give them a huge round of applause. So come on, right where you are. I know you're thinking, that's crazy, they can't hear me, but I don't know, somehow they will. The over and above zone, guys, is so important. Actually, to Jesus, in Mark chapter 12, verse 44, Jesus was watching people put money into the offering. And he says, guys, I want you to see how this widow is giving to God. And the Bible says that she just put 2 coins, the equivalent of 5 cents, and she puts those 2 coins into the offering. And he says, now watch all these rich people come. And all these rich people were coming, putting in their offering. And Jesus said, this woman gave more than the rich people. And the disciples are like, how does that work? And Jesus tells us, he says, they gave out of their wealth, but she gave out of her poverty. And she put in everything, all that she had to live on. What's he saying? When she gave to God, it was with an over and above spirit. Did you know there's 2 ways to give to God? Out of your wealth, and it doesn't even touch the sides of your life, doesn't hurt you at all, there's no sacrifice. Or there's the times that you give to God that it really hurts and it costs you. And God says, look, thank you for that. That's great. But that's wow. When you enter into that zone, that's when that takes place. And I want to be the sort of person that as I live my life, as I have coffees with people, as I'm, whatever it is that I'm doing, I just want to be setting off that alarm over and over and over again. Do you know, bringing to God your tithe, friends, for those of you who tithe, for those of you who are part of a church and you want to help your church move forward, bringing your tithe is beautiful. But friends, it's God's tithe. That's just like a necessity. That's just, it's beautiful and it's holy, but did you know it's the offering that actually sets the alarm off? And I know many people that are very faithful with their tithe, but they don't consider the offering. And God says, that's what sets off the alarm. You know, if you gave me a book and I simply returned the book to you, you wouldn't say, oh, you're so generous. Oh, you're so kind. I think I've got integrity and I think I'm being thoughtful. That's good. But it's not generosity, because I'm just giving back to you what belonged to you. Friends, that's our tithe. When we give to God our offering, God goes, right, that's what attracts the attention of heaven, friends. And we see that over and over again. What about the woman that brought the alabaster jar? The Bible says that it was worth a year's worth of wages. So in Australia, that would be worth around $55,000. And the Bible says that she opens up the alabaster jar and she pours it on Jesus' head and on his feet. And Jesus said, you know what, this woman has done will be remembered for as long as the gospel is preached. Why? Because she must have set off a few alarms. You could just imagine. I don't think she was that wealthy. She must have taken everything she had and she poured it on the body of Jesus. And friends, do you know when we are generous toward the body of Christ, his church, his people? Do you know, we are setting off alarms everywhere. And as we're coming up to our miracle offering, can I just really, really encourage you to be generous toward the body of Jesus? And let's set off alarms. Friends, why would we even bother being generous to the body of Jesus? Friends, if you're a part of a church, you would know what happens here. Couples come in who are completely disillusioned, don't even know what life's about. They don't even know why they need to have a great marriage. And they come into this place and they meet people. They hear messages. They hear the worship. And God heals that marriage. Friends, when you see God do that in people's lives, you start to value the body of Christ. Friends, I've seen people with substance abuse, addictions, broken in Jesus' name through the body of Christ. I've seen people's mindsets, people full-blown depression, but hanging out with positive people and getting the exercise that they need. I've seen their mindset change through the body of Christ. And just as this woman was generous to Jesus' body, you know what? As we come into this time and we're generous to the body of Christ, we're also going to see the miracle of people's lives being set free and those alarms going off. You know, I've got just one last story for you that is from the Bible. And it's found in Matthew 25 when Jesus says, you know, there's going to be a day when people come before God and God's going to say to them, hey, listen, thank you so much for the day. Actually, we'll pick it up in verse 35 in Matthew 25. He says, I was hungry, you gave me something to eat. And I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. He says, I was a stranger and you invited me in. I needed clothes and you clothed me. I was sick and you looked after me. I was in prison and you came to visit me. And then those people say to him, Lord, when did we do that for you? Like, when? When did we do that? In other words, these people entered the zone. They didn't even know they entered it. And the king, it says, will reply, I tell you, whatever you did for the least of my brothers and sisters of mine, you actually did it for me. Wow. These people entered into the zone and they didn't even know it. But listen, I want you to see something. It doesn't mention when they actually fed their own kids. I mean, that's a good thing to do. And when they put clothes on their own children. Friends, that's a responsibility. You can't shy away from just caring for your own family. Now, it's to be commended and to be rewarded. It's great. But it's when you do it for strangers that you enter into the over and above zone. Friends, can I just encourage all of us? That's where we want to be living. We want to be over and above people. Why? Because we serve an over and above God. And you're not sure about that? John 3:16. Can you get away from that? God so loved the world. So here it is. He loves the world. So what's he going to do? That God gave us a book. Doesn't say that. That God just sent us a prophet. Doesn't say that. That God just sent us a little letter or a text. No. How over and above did our God go? That he says that he loves us, he sent his only son. Wow, to be our savior. Friends, the over and above zone, why does God want us there? Because that's where he lives. He lives in that zone. And when we cross over, that's where we find him. That's how we attract his attention.
Hi, I'm Richard Kabacki and pastor of Lifehouse Church. Just wanted to say thank you for listening to this message, and I hope and pray that you feel that it's added value to your life. My greatest desire is to see people develop a personal relationship with Jesus, which can begin by praying a very simple prayer. I'm going to pray that prayer right now, and if you'd like to begin that relationship, you can just repeat after me. Lord Jesus, I need you in my life. I choose you as my only hope of being forgiven. Please come into my life and let me begin a relationship with you that will last for all eternity. If you've prayed that prayer, we would love to know about it and celebrate your fantastic decision. You can do that by sending an email to mydecision@lifehouse.com.au. We look forward to hearing from you.